analysts, reporters, and correspondents. Okay. Yet again, I know a lot of queer folks in the media, artists and related work, and then agents and managers and producers and directors. All really the arts and cultural sector by far.
Not so, law. Even though law is big on the generalist, that list, they still make a drop in the bucket.
Well, lawyers, judges, and magistrates comes down as the 14th occupation with the highest proportion of gay and lesbians.
Okay.
So there are a lot of gay and lesbian lawyers, more so than you would expect, but not as much as when it comes to like technical writing or artist management, for example.
I don't know if you've ever read Kurt Vonnegut.
I have.
Okay, in...
Not all of him, obviously.
In, what was the one with Ice Nine in it? The one with, is it Cat's Cradle, I think? Anyway, in one of the books, there's a scene where there's a couple, they're talking about, there was a technical writer who was at the same resort as them, and they're saying, you can always tell a homosexual by the way he writes an index. And it was just weird scene in this Kurt Vonnegut book, and... I don't know, that always stuck with me, and I've said that to a few friends who actually write manuals, and they're like, I don't know what that means, but I don't know, this study is kind of interesting. And that was written in, what, the 60s, 70s? When was Kurt Vonnegut active? Actually, it was more like 70s, 80s. Anyway, but yeah, little Kurt Vonnegut nerd literature, you can always tell a homosexual by the way he writes an index. I don't know why.
There might be some truth to that.
It might be some truth to that. We should go around looking at encyclopedias.
Absolutely. So the other update I had before we move in is dictionary.com have updated their various words.
Okay.
There have been 313 new entries. New words that have been added to the dictionary. 130 of them have been updated with new definitions, and 1,100 had new ones entirely added. Like cakeage was added.
Is that when you put on too much makeup?
Yeah, no, a cakeage is like a corkage fee. It's a cakeage fee. Have you ever heard of such a thing? It's where they take, if you go to a restaurant and you're like, I brought my own birthday cake. But they charge you for slicing the cake. Like if you brought your own bottle of wine, they charge you a corking fee. It's a cakeage fee. Digital Nomad was added.
Oh, yes.
Hellscape was added to the dictionary.
How is that not existing before?
How did that not exist before? I don't know.
It's maybe as a single word instead of a compound word. Like, because Hellscape's been in the language for a long time, but Hellscape as a single word, yeah, I can see that being new.
Rage farming was added to the dictionary.
Because of, not Corbyn, what's his name?
So rage farming is when you intentionally provoke political opponents to get them to overreact. And then, you know, that's the goal of it. Pink washing was added. So for our listeners who don't know, pink washing is where typically a company would do a sort of a really obvious initiative to make it look like they are very pro-LGBT, so that they are, you know, pro-gay on paper.
Yeah.
But then there's no depth or reality to it.
Well, and then the moment Pride season ends, they're, you know, nowhere to be seen.
They're back to normal, yeah. The other one that got added was queer baiting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to define for our audience what queer baiting is?
It's when you hint at but don't actually seal the deal on a same-sex relationship in something in order to garner interest from mostly the queer demographic, but young demographic in general. The biggest accusations of queer baiting have gone towards the show Teen Wolf.
Oh, yes.
And there have been arguments about queer baiting accusations for the final 30 seconds of Korra, the Avatar series.
Mm.
Because the whole series, she had no romantic interest in anyone, and right in the last 30 seconds, she's like, oh, by the way, I'm in love with that lady. And there's a whole bunch of, like, queer people who are all for it. They're like, I would have been for it if you'd done it all along. This is bull. Why would you do this in the last...
It's inauthentic, it's disingenuous, and it strikes a discordant note. It just feels forced and contrived.
Like, commit or don't do it. Like, do it the whole time, or don't do it at all. What is this? So there
it's like the writers go, oh my gosh, yes, the gays, quick, make one of them kiss. And yeah. It's like, okay, but good.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, definitely Teen Wolf. Any kind of like drama oriented towards teenagers where there are 30-year-olds with rippling abs who are supposedly 16.
I think recently, this is a generational issue. Because us millennials and older generations always had 30, 40-year-olds playing actual teenagers.
Yeah.
But all of the new TV seems to have actual teenagers playing actual teenagers. It is unheard of. Uh-huh. But yeah, yeah. It's like, these are actual, like, the age actors playing those roles. Yeah,
I think it's a little more, like, 50... Well, I mean, you still have Riverdale.
Yeah, but only one or two of them out of the whole cast. So, the other words that came out are petfluencer.
Oh, God.
Like an influencer, but for pets. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one here that I did not know as a gay man, and that is abrosexual. Do you know what abrosexual is?
I know I've heard the term. Is it a straight man who acts like a gay man but is straight?
No, it is relating to a person whose sexual orientation is fluid or fluctuates over time. So it comes from the Greek habros, meaning graceful, delicate, or pretty. So it's abrosexual, which is interesting because years and years ago, we did a deep dive into the scientific body of work on what causes sexuality. And one of the theories of sexuality is that it is on multiple vectors. So the best way to describe it is... think of yourself when you're feeling particularly sexy and alluring. Maybe it's a romantic dinner with your partner and how you view yourself and other people in that moment. And then think of yourself visiting your grandparents. Like your sexual identity is very different in those dynamic situations. Or somebody who may not be remotely gay, but in an all-male-only environment, such as a prison. Or the Navy, then these things become a bit more fluctuating. So it's the idea that someone's sexuality is reflective of their nature, their nurture, and also their time and space that they are existing in at that time.
Yeah, the influence of immediate environment is definitely a thing for... I mean, culture is an evolutionary construct, and there's a feedback loop that humans as animals create culture, but culture also influences us and how we behave. It's kind of an interesting thing. Can I ask you, is the word zesty on that list?
I am not saying zesty.
Zesty apparently is something like energetic and gay, but it not gay as in like rainbow this, pride kind of
this
thing?
This might be my favorite word that has been added. A super dodger. So a super dodger is anyone, for unverified reasons, who remains uninfected or asymptomatic after repeated exposures to a contagious virus. So you must all know somebody who in this entire pandemic has never got ill. You know, world-ending, you know, for the audience's sake, Seb just sheepishly raised his own hand. But, like, people who have, you know, take public transit, family are dropping like flies, and they're fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're a super dodger.
I had a cough that lasted a day. I had seasonal allergies, which was ambiguous. I mean, I've had a couple lurgies where I don't know if it was allergies or a cold or a flu or very mild COVID. I don't know what it was. But yeah, I broadly speaking, if I've been down, it's never been for more than 2 days over the past like 3 years. Yeah.
That is outrageous.
But I have a bum gut. So if I eat something that looked at its own shadow, I get sick. So,
all right, we're jumping to our first track. This is Coal Mine by Mother Love, and we will be back just after this.
No sign. station and I'm sinking low. Digging in this coal mine, looking for gold. My baby, come and save my soul. Digging in this coal mine, looking for gold. Digging in this coal mine. Darkness where there ain't no stars. No escape from love when I'm covered in scars. A foot from the gutter and a mile from hell. Digging this hole from the day I fell. My baby, oh my. Salvation and I'm sinking low. Digging in this coal mine, looking for gold. My baby, come and save my soul. Digging in this coal mine, looking for gold. Digging in this coal mine. One man walks far from his home, but I'm a man's lost. Everywhere I go.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we are, first of all, let me just tell you about a pretty outrageous event that happened recently. Do you recall that Lady Gaga's dog was dognapped?
Yes.
You do recall this. Well, apparently...
Wasn't it two of them?
Yeah, they were her two dogs. Yeah. So, apparently, the girlfriend of the dog napper, who is essentially an accessory to the dog napping,
mm-hmm.
Has now sued Lady Gaga for not giving her the reward money for finding the dogs that she helped to dog nap.
Yeah, so from what I understand, Lady Gaga put a bounty out and said that she would give reward money, no questions asked, and... which sounds fine on its surface, but if you're the one who did it and you're accepting that, that's basically just a ransom at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Like, give me the money and I'll give you the dogs back. So I don't know. It's complicated on the one. Well, not even complicated, I guess. Cause I mean, you did steal the dogs, but you know, no questions asked means no questions asked, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just dog napping here. Lady Gaga's dog walker, Ryan Fisher, was shot and wounded. He was shot four times. During the dog napping. Lady Gaga offered up to $500,000 as the reward. Now, Jennifer McBride showed up at the LAPD station, handed over the dogs, and LAPD were like, oh, yeah, she seems to be uninvolved, unassociated, not remotely responsible here. Anyways, they did a bit of digging, and they found that she was very much involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was charged with receiving stolen property and accessory to attempted murder. So despite being charged as an accessory to attempted murder and receiving stolen property, Jennifer McBride still believes that despite being involved in the dog napping,
mm-hmm.
that she is auto of this $500,000 prize off of, or reward off of Lady Gaga.
So she did the crime, she'll do the time, but she wants her reward money anyway, please.
Yeah, yeah. So the lawsuit filed says Lady Gaga is being accused of offering the $500,000 with the intent to defraud and induce members of the public, such as the plaintiff, which, by the way, here is the woman who apparently responsible for dog napping,
mm-hmm.
To rely upon it and act upon said promise. I mean, a lot of it is sort of standard legal talk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, McBride is asking for no less than $1.5 million, including for legal fees and mental anguish.
Mental?
And as well as, obviously, the pain and suffering. So, just to recap, the lady who is partly responsible for mm-hmm. stealing Lady Gaga's dogs is suing Lady Gaga for not giving her a reward when she returned the dogs.
In what state? Is it California?
LA.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Definitely Canada. Definitely the UK. And some, but not all, American states have a laugh-you-out-of-court sort of unofficial rule that if you're suing someone for something so stupid that the judge is like, what? Then they can just dismiss it. But no, I think LA is one of those states where all litigation needs at least an hour in front of a judge. Nothing gets dismissed outright. So this is going to see court time. Even if it's only 5 minutes for the judge to just look at the lady and say, what are you doing? This is a waste of everyone's time. Go home. And by home, I mean go back to your cell. Like, this is... That's great. Oh, that's a ridiculous story. Just
the audacity of uh-huh. it. Like, the sheer gall of stealing someone's dog and then suing them when they don't give you the reward money is just astonishing.
I mean, you never know. They could say, like, she did say no questions asked. She did offer the reward. She didn't stipulate that...
You're not supposed to be the guy that shot the dog napper.
Mm-hmm.
No, you weren't the dog napper that shot the guy, rather. But, I mean, absolutely outrageous. So, moving now to a bit more of a serious story. And that is about two gay men who have died in New York City. One of the men was found dead in his apartment. Another one had died in a taxi. And what the police have identified now is that both of these men were actually substantially robbed. Their credit cards, details, all of that thing taken, bank accounts emptied.
Mm-hmm.
But they were drugged prior to their robbing. So I think significant amounts of fentanyl were found in their system.
Oh.
And the concern here from the New York police is that, and we don't know whether or not it's targeted. We know for sure that these are two gay men leaving a gay club
mm-hmm.
in New York. Somebody went with them, provided, you know, drugged them in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that neither of these men had a history of drug use.
Okay. Fentanyl, though, is famously easy to get into somebody's body. Like, you can get in through skin contact, for example. And it's even very small amounts in a drink. So even if they just had, like, one drink, it could be that one drink that they had that they shouldn't have had. So, yeah, no, that's That's pretty horrible and pretty tragic, yeah.
So just to be clear, I just... the New York Police Department, sorry, do not believe that it is targeted, but rather people leaving clubs are being targeted.
Right, okay.
Then drugged.
Right.
Then robbed. So, yeah, the need to be careful and abundantly careful is yet again emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving to Australia with the World Pride and the Sydney Mardi Gras, both one and the same thing, have reached an end. The 17-day festival has finally finished.
Oh, that's too much party.
So much party.
That's too much party.
So much party.
I like a good time, but that's too much party. 17 days.
So the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, led a march across the Sydney Bridge, with the Sydney Sydney Harbour Bridge, with the Sydney Opera House off in the on the side.
Mm-hmm.
50,000 people marched with the Prime Minister and other LGBT dignitaries across the bridge. Quite for our folks, our listeners and friends in Australia and New Zealand, this was a very big deal and certainly quite the momentous moment. I believe Australia also announced new funding to support LGBTQ initiatives in the Asia Pacific region.
Okay.
So, you know, definitely not only trying to improve at home, and there's things to improve in Australia,
mm-hmm.
But also influence in the area. So, yeah, a nice, happy, cheerful 50,000 person march to close out 17 days of festivities.
Do you get the feeling sometimes that pride parades are starting to get to the size where they're about half the size of the audience?
Well, the parade is like bigger than the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why I like small prides.
Yeah.
You know, like, although I am split on my opinion of Belleville, Ontario.
Yeah.
One of the best prides I went to was Belleville Pride. Mm-hmm. And it was just a leisurely walk. The parade route was unequivocally too far.
Okay.
And I say this because, you know, it wasn't... inaccessible kind of too far. It wasn't the I'm gonna need a sit down from this walk too far,
mm-hmm.
but it was far enough that any kind of audience cheering you on like petered out,
mm-hmm.
and then you're just strolling down a main road for 5 minutes,
okay,
with traffic going the other way and the odd pedestrian going to like the grocery store passing by. Like, when you've run out of crowd, is it really a pride march, or is it just a, you know, is it a pride march if no one's there to see it?
March, yes. Parade, no.
No, no. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Parades need an audience.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I do like a small town pride, though. You go there, you go to a picnic, eat a hot dog.
There was a picnic.
A friend introduces you to some friends, you listen to some music.
All the drag queens are slowly melting under the midday sun.
A lot of the drag queens at small town prides don't get into drag that day because they just want to hang out in jeans. Because
it's sunny, it's hot, yeah. Who wants to be wearing that much makeup?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the... You can't really put on your lipstick and also drink a beer, so... out of a bottle, anyway.
The struggle is real.
Yeah, so everyone just sort of hangs out, and then, like, hey, have you met Jill? She lives next door. She grooms dogs. She's even willing to work with huskies.
I know. That's bold.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, that's what Small Town Pride is like. It's really more like a family picnic or just like a local gathering. Mm. One of the best ones I ever went to was in Sarnia. It was the same basic thing. Eat a hot dog, hang out. There's a dance at the Agricultural Centre.
I went to the one in Perth, Ontario, and that was literally just, we walked in a square. Like maybe it was Kingston.
By square, do you mean like a plaza or
no,
like...
No, like a block. We did a block. I think it was Kingston.
Okay.
I think we just walked a block.
Okay.
And got back and everyone was like, yay! Like, achievement unlocked. We've walked a block.
And then you eat a hot dog.
And then you eat a hot dog.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think small town prides are definitely, definitely where it's at. Hands down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are going to jump to our next track of the day. This we've got like a Americana, but like Canadiana vibe going. you know, we had Coal Mine by Mother from the album Mother Love mm-hmm. by Iskwe and Tom Wilson. I believe they're out of Winnipeg, or maybe Iskwe is Cree Métis, Tom Wilson is Mohawk. I'm not sure where they're currently based. Anyway, we're now going to be moving to Nancy Labarge with Just Leave. Mm-hmm. This is very Americana. Folks Roots America singer-songwriter from Calgary. Makes sense. Calgary does make sense. And later today, we're going to be playing out with the Indigo Girls. Where are the Indigo Girls from?
Like Wisconsin or something.
Okay, so not Canadian. Actual Americana with the Indigo Girls. But before we get there, our second queer-identified Canadian artist singing a bit of folk Americana is Nancy Labarge with Just Leave Calgary, Alberta. We will be back.
If you can't stay, then don't stay. If you need to go, then just go. This ain't some torture test, gut wrench and regret. You can't be who you wanna be. No twisted tale or sinister spell to keep you here with me. Just leave. It's wrecking my mind. Can't make up your mind. This up and down. Dragging me down. It's like a guessing game, but the prize is the pain, and I'm winning constantly. So just leave. Don't waste another breath on sympathy. All your guilt and your big regrets is killing me. All the promises you couldn't keep. I'm not just a stepping stone to get. If there's nothing left, 'cause you already lived. Get good at gone, don't drag this on. If you've ever cared about me, just leave. Don't waste another breath on sympathy. On your guilt and your big regrets, it's killing me.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And finally, one story that we have been keeping an eye on is a recent campaign by Hershey's Canada. Now, this has been, frankly, tragic. Because I feel like this could have just been a non-story that people didn't really think too much about and then moved on. So just to, for our listeners who may not be aware, there has been significant backlash to Hershey's... And when I say backlash, it's predominantly in the US media, particularly right-wing media circles, who are really critical of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you an idea, Tucker Carlson has taken issue with this campaign from Hershey's Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So Hershey Canada, they handed over 40,000 over to Girl Up a group out of Quebec which focuses on women's equity,
okay.
Which is a donation to women's a woman's cause. They had four women feature on some new limited run packaging for Hershey's chocolate bars with their face on it.
Mm-hmm.
It included Autumn Peltier, an Indigenous rights and water activist, Nyla Malou, who is a climate